Hello again, everyone. I'm your host, David Guerra, and this is the Walking Leader Podcast. Welcome to episode 117. The Walking Leader Podcast is here to help give you the rules and the tools to help you succeed as a leader in your organization, as well as in your personal, professional life, in and out of the office. That's right. In this episode of the Walking Leader Podcast, I'm going to talk about, well, motivation. It's been kind of the running theme. Last episode, episode 116, was about getting yourself motivated. The bottom line is that no matter what, as a leader, you have to motivate yourself. You have to stand up and step up and do everything each morning to get it done, get in there, get yourself going, make it happen, because that's all they want to see. They don't care if you're sick. They don't care. I mean, really, they don't. They really don't care if you're sick. They really don't care if you're like on death's doorstep. All they want to know is that you're showing up, and you're showing up. You're showing them that, hey, you've got the strength. You've got the stamina. You've got the willpower. You can lead them. And that's all they want to see. That's non-negotiable. You want to be the leader? You have no choice. But, well, you have the choice, you know, not only to act as like a leader, but to actually be the leader. And, well, now we're going to talk about motivating the team, motivating the entire team. And, well, as I mentioned last time, I gave you a few tips and techniques. Where did that come from? A few tips and techniques, but now I'm going to give you for your team to pass along. I'm going to give you about three of them and a bonus one. Sure, why not? Let's do a bonus one because I feel generous. It's Friday afternoon. Why not? Friday evening, sorry. And so, number one. It's real simple, and all of these make sense. All of these are stuff, it's common sense, but it motivates the team because, again, you're thinking of them first, not yourself. You're thinking of them. You're not thinking of Bart. And I'll get to Bart in just a second. Number one, you set those clear, concise standards, and you let them know what the standards are. You let them know right away. If you have to remind them every week, you remind them every week. But also let them know to not be afraid to exceed those standards. Because if everybody else starts exceeding the standards, well, if one, then another, then everybody else will, guess what? Your entire team is going to start exceeding the standards. And it's going to make the rest of the organization look bad, but guess what? Then the rest of the organization is going to pick up on what's going on, and they're going to want to start exceeding the standards, the expectations, the norms, the bare minimum. And when an organization as a whole is exceeding the standards, I guarantee you, there's nothing more but success. That's it. Success is just oozing out of the organization. And when a successful organization, when any organization just oozes success, well, guess what? Customers, clients, stakeholders, they're going to flock to your organization, to that organization, because they want to be a part of it. They want to see, they want to know that, hey, this is what happens. This is what happens when people are motivated, when they're excited to work, when their managers set these standards and say, hey, don't be afraid to exceed them. There's nothing wrong with that. Technique number two, encourage collaboration and contribution. Don't stop. Always, always encourage that collaboration. And if they're not collaborating, encourage them to contribute. There's nothing wrong with that. Encourage that collaboration as part of a team, as part of a group, as part of the organization. That's your job. Because if you run the accounting department, you're going to need all the accountants to be on task, focused when a time comes. And the time comes, well, basically every day. Otherwise, why do you have a department and not just one accountant? Exactly. Encourage that collaboration. Let them work together. Who knows? They might find some commonalities and they might be able to solve some problems in those commonalities. Speed things up, not shortcuts, but actually make things a little bit more streamlined, a little bit more effective. And those that are not part of a team, or if they're a one-person team, then have them contribute to the rest of the organization. Encourage them to contribute. Encourage collaboration. Encourage contribution. Again, I'm not telling you anything new, but when they know that that you want collaboration, when they know you want contribution, that's going to motivate them to actually step up and actually do something about that. So it's something to think about, folks. Something to think about. Technique number three, No. Say no to micromanaging. No micromanagement. When I hear the word micromanagement, I think about the Bart syndrome. And the Bart syndrome is terrible because I've experienced it with others. The Bart syndrome, and it's like synonymous with micromanaging. It's and I've broken this down. It's something I created, something I came up with. It's boisterous attempts at reinforcing the title. Boisterous attempts at reinforcing the title. And it might change. I might just change it. But do you understand where I'm going with that? Boisterous attempts at reinforcing the title. Bart, the leader, the manager. And what does he do? He micromanages. He gets in and he says, well, guess what, Department A? This is what you're doing wrong, and this is how you're going to correct it. Even though Department A might just be the accounting department, and this joker's got no clue what accounting is other than balancing his checkbook, and very bad at that. But he's the manager. He's the one in charge. And guess what? So like, obviously that makes him right. No, that makes him a bad manager. That makes him a micromanager, and that makes him a bad micromanager. So that's what I call the Bart syndrome, because I've had these kinds of managers, these kind of pseudo leaders that I've had to deal with, I've had to work with, I had to endure, but in the end, they did themselves in. And usually that's the case because they get found out at those boisterous attempts at reinforcing the title. That's usually a red flag. That's usually a red flag. And reinforcing the title of, well, I'm the boss, I'm the manager, I'm the director, I'm the administrator, but the title never said leader. So again, micromanaging. Remember, micromanaging means you do not trust your employees. That's exactly what it means. It doesn't mean anything else. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm just trying to CYA. No. It means you do not trust your employees enough to let them do their job. That's why you're micromanaging. Remember that. Remember, you have to trust your employees. You hired them for a reason. They're on your team for a reason. They were given to you for a reason. You have to trust them. Let them know you trust them. Do not give them any reason not to trust you. Because if you don't trust them, they're certainly not going to trust you. It's just that simple. It is a simple two-way street, quid pro quo. You give me no trust, I'll give you no trust. It's simple, just like that. There's nothing more to it, folks. They need to know you trust them. They need to know that they can go to you when there's issues. They need to know that they can do their job. They need to know you're not there to micromanage them. If anything, you're just there to say, hey, maybe have a cup of coffee with everybody, how's it going, and then move along. But you are not there to micromanage. You want to motivate your team? The great way to kill that motivation is to micromanage. So do not micromanage, and you will motivate your team. Go out of your way not to micromanage. Bite your tongue if you have to. Pull the department head aside and talk to the department head. But don't go into the trenches. Start running the way, you know, start running things the way that you think they should be run. You're wrong. They need to know you trust them. So motivation comes in many forms. Motivation is purely human-to-human communication, human-to-human contact, human-to-human interaction. There's no two ways around that. That's just the bottom line. And of course, aside from setting the clear, concise standards, encouraging collaboration, minimizing micromanagement or eliminating micromanagement, those are just three things. There are countless other ways to motivate them. Sure, you can pay them, and definitely pay them what they're worth to begin with. And if they're doing the same job, pay them for that same job that all of them are doing. Don't be pulling punches. Do not be picking at, oh, well, you're this or you're that. Obviously, if somebody has a master's and is doing a job and somebody else is doing another job that doesn't require a master's, well, obviously, you know, those things you do take into consideration. But you don't take, and obviously you do take their ability to do the job because you hired them. You take that into consideration, but do not, I repeat, do not take gender. Do not take religion. Do not take orientation. Do not take the color of their hair into anything that will equate to inequality in pay. If they can do the job and they're doing the job as this person next to them, then you pay everybody the same. trust me, when your organization, it gets, and it comes out. Don't act like it doesn't. Don't try, don't put your head in the sand thinking, oh, well, they don't know what each other makes. They talk. Yes, they talk. And they are going to continue to talk. And they know. So don't be a fool. Sure, you can set the, policy and procedure to say, hey, you do not discuss your pay, but they talk. They talk about it. And there's no parity in the work, in the payment for the work being done. It's going to get out, and that's going to cause problems in motivation. So adjust accordingly. Adjust accordingly, especially when it comes to pay. Oh, and before I forget, here's that bonus technique. When it comes to meetings are just, it depends. I've been to some terrible meetings where people have been forced to present something, even if they had nothing to say, nothing to add, nothing to contribute. And that meeting was being led by someone with the BART syndrome. Personally, I loathe meetings. But lately, and again, there's always a but. Lately, I've encountered some meetings that have been very productive, on time, on schedule, and only those that are there to contribute will contribute. Everybody else stays there, listens, soaks in, and if it generates something else to contribute, then yes, they can do that. But for the most part, meetings have been on point, have stayed on task, there's been no sidebars, and if it has to go to a sidebar, we can take this after the meeting, not during the meeting, not a sidebar during the meeting. That's where I personally started loathing meetings, because it would turn into, you had 20 people in the room and only two people talked to each other, and they hogged up the entire conversation. A conversation they could have been having in somebody's office, not in a meeting room with 20 other people just sitting there twiddling their thumbs. So folks, when it comes to meetings, do not waste their time. That's not what meetings are for. Meetings are there to pass information, share information, and ensure that people are informed as to what's going on, what they need to do, and why they need to do it. Well, what do you think about what I just talked about in episode 117 of the Walking Leader podcast? Team motivation, motivating your team. Offered you some tips. You can go out there and find them. They're out there. Everybody's got an idea. I've got an idea. Everybody has something. It's not that difficult, but what is difficult is shedding that BART syndrome, thinking you're all things to all people, thinking that you're it, it all ends and begins with you. You're not BART syndrome type person. You are a leader. Don't suffer the BART syndrome. Trust me, that'll end terribly for you, and you don't want it to end terribly. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns about episode 117 or any of the other episodes of the Walking Leader podcast, then please let me know. I'm on Twitter. I'm always on Twitter. I have Twitter on my phone. I have Twitter on my PC. Twitter is always on. Let me know. At Dave Guerra. At DaveGuerra. It's all one word. Dave Guerra. That's my name. Follow me there. I'll follow you back. Let me know you heard the episode, and I will follow you back. Let me know. You have a question. If you have a question, I will answer you. I look forward to hearing from you. I look forward to engaging with you. I'm not kidding. I want to engage with you. So let me know. Folks, my name is David Guerra. I'm the author of the books, The Walking Leader, Great to Follow, and We the Team, which will be out soon. I thank you for your time. I do appreciate it. And most of all, I do appreciate you for taking that time. Hey, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. You can find that link at DaveGuerra.com, my website, DaveGuerra.com/podcast. You can also find all the other social media links, DaveGuerra.com/contact. I'm there. Find me. Add me. I'll follow you back. Listen, before you go, one last thing. I want to remind you to always go beyond the grind, always go beyond the hustle, because that is the only way to be the walking leader and a leader that is great to follow. Your team will thank you for it.